It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, September 14th. I'm Patricia Naft. Food insecurity means not knowing where your next meal will come from. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's annual report on the topic finds last year 14% of U.S. households struggled with it at one point. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
In 2014, more than 17 million households and 48 million people grappled with food insecurity in the U.S. In Colorado, nearly 1 in 7 residents face this issue.
So that could be your neighbor, you know, seniors around you, children.
Ellie Agar is a spokesperson for Hunger Free Colorado, an advocacy organization.
And in fact, 1 in 5 children are affected by hunger in our state.
A recent USDA report finds households outside of urban cores have the highest prevalence of food insecurity at 17%.
So when you're outside of the metropolitan area, there's a lot of new barriers that arise. A lot of that can actually relate to transportation. It's usually cited as a number one issue, and that's simply that they don't have access to get to resources.
Agar says Hunger Free Colorado runs a statewide hotline that people can call toll-free to get information about food assistance in their area. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
A statistician with the U.S. Geological Survey just published a paper that calls into question estimates of sage-grouse in Colorado. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
At the end of this month, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will make a decision whether or not to list the sage-grouse as an endangered species. Of course, a large consideration will be the number of sage-grouse out there.
We don't know, whether the predictions that were made are reliable.
That's Brian Cade, the research statistician with the USGS who published the paper. He's been looking at the modeling used to estimate birds. Colorado Parks and Wildlife can't very well go out and hand count every bird, so they use some data that they have and plug it into equations, models, to get an idea of what's out there. They've even used multiple models and averaged them out. It's a pretty common practice. Cade, with the USGS, has been looking at the way it's averaged for the past 10 years, and it's never sat right with him. So he just published a paper that shows the pitfalls of that method.
And it just so happened that at the time I was putting together this paper, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife paper, sage-grouse model was published, and I decided to use it in my paper as an example of the issues.
He says the issue is when scientists average the different models together. It's like adding fractions with different denominators, comparing apples to oranges.
Well, it's more like comparing apples to pineapples. They seem similar, but they're not exactly the same thing.
Interestingly, Cade wasn't involved with the sage-grouse. He didn't even know until after the paper was published that the decision is being made at the end of this month. He says that CPW didn't use the wrong techniques on purpose.
Some of the mistakes that they made with this practice are things that they could not have known about because they were just doing what everybody else had been done. And so the point of my paper was to, again, to kind of point out these deficiencies so people could correct these.
Cade says that to get a more accurate estimate, all of the numbers will have to be crunched again. It's unknown if the number of estimated sage-grouse will go up or down until it's all calculated again. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Authorities in Grand Junction arrested a second person involved with the illicit photography of a 12-year-old girl. The Daily Sentinel reports that Rebecca Franklin was arrested on allegations that she aimed to profit by allowing the girl to be photographed. Franklin was arrested last Wednesday night on charges of human trafficking and sexual exploitation of a child. Over at IC Change Almanac, Marilyn Stone of Paonia has been noticing what's going on with the birds on the western slope. She has seen the hummingbirds leave for the winter and more kestrels around her property, something she attributes to more cover crop for tasty prey. If you've seen changes around you, if you have any questions about the environment, let us know at icchange.org. Last week, authorities busted a large illegal marijuana grow site in southern Colorado. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
The site spans 10 acres across U.S. forest land in Huerfano County, about 40 miles northwest of Trinidad. Law enforcement officials from the Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, and the Huerfano County Sheriff's Department removed nearly 12,000 plants, as well as irrigation pipe, pesticides, and camping gear, among other items. Two men were arrested. The Forest Service says this is one of the largest busts on national forest lands in Colorado. For KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin.
The town of Paonia is facing a tough financial outlook. With looming infrastructure costs and no discretionary budget, the Board of Trustees is considering updating several parts of the town code, including fees and fines. Jake Ryan recently sat down with Charles Stewart and Ross King, board members and members of the Finance Committee.
Fees have also been brought up, and that definitely seemed to catch the attention of a lot of people.
Yeah.
What changes were proposed, and why has this become such a lightning rod?
First off, we have not addressed the fees and fines of this town in many, many, many years. And if you looked at them, what they were previously, they certainly didn't reflect the cost the town incurred trying to either manage the different codes that are in place and the applications that are proffered to the town that we have to have town staff deal with. The fines did not reflect either the severity or the imposition on the community, and they were certainly not a deterrent to anybody's poor behavior. And we needed to get those addressed so that it sent the proper signal to, one, the people who are asking for the town to provide services to them, and two, for those people who continue to violate or not track our code requirements, that they're going to be held accountable for it, and if in fact necessary, pay the appropriate fee or fine for whatever they're asking. And the only question I asked at the board meeting the other evening was, do these fines and fees that you've suggested to the board reflect the costs, approximate costs, to the town? And the town manager assured us they did. That's all I needed to know.
Again, it's one of these issues that the town just simply hasn't been addressing for an extended period of time. We have fines and charges that have been around for decades. And I'll give you a simple example. The fine for theft of $100 or less is $25. Do the math. That's not a deterrent to stop a thief. And so there's some real practical things. Also, too, I think there's a sense that this is being done simply to generate revenue. The fines and charges is actually a relatively small portion of the budget. The idea is to encourage good behavior and to also cover the costs that the towns are incurring when it provides services to the community. That is the goal. The problems, the financial issues that the town has have to be addressed in a much bigger fashion. And so that is not the point or purpose of the fee increases or the increases in the charges.
That was Charles Stewart and Ross King talking about proposed increases in fees and fines for the town of Paonia to Jake Ryan. To hear the full interview, tune in tomorrow night after the newscast for Local Motion. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for DJ Sparkle Pony and the Monday Morning Music Mix.